Welcome back, or a tremendous Tuesday to you. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home in a simple way to get it, Rocket can. I can't help but chuckle as we start hour number three. Trent Dilfer is coming up next segment, the new head coach at UAB. Phone lines are open. I've got a few people on hold. I would love to hear from you. 1-800-636-8686. What I'm chuckling at is another polarizing person in the jungle, Bella B. in Calgary. She misses nothing. It's incredible. Listen to this. Hi, Jim. I hate to be the one that points this out. However, you may have killed any and all Death Pool smack, but it still spins around on that crown during the show's open. R.I.P. Kirstie Alley. Okay, so look at it behind me right now. Bella B. in Calgary. It's spinning. Of course, every time I turn around, my earpod pops out.
Kirstie Alley.
It's spinning around, and it's so true. It's on that belt or that graphic or whatever that is. Now, I personally have not spent a lot of time, despite the fact that we've had this for several years, and it really is pretty catchy, right?
I believe.
If you look at it, there it is, right there. Freeze it. Freeze it. They can't freeze it. You see it? But if you wait long enough, it will spin around again. Bella is amazing. Okay, so what this is it's a really big crown, right? This is part of the show graphic. And it's got a number of pretty dated jungle references on it, but it's cool, like Grab a Vine, Meltdown, Van Smack, bam, right there. There it is. The Death Pool. Look, there's a Band-Aid with somebody in the middle of it and the Jungle Death Pool. It'll come around again. It's like a merry-go-round. They can't freeze it. They cannot freeze it, but it will come around. The Bomb, Meltdown, Van Smack. There it is. That's whack. An homage to Del Harris.
That's whack.
What's that right there? I don't even know what that is. Grab a Vine, the great one. I think you mean the huge one, but the great one. Death Pool. There, bam, right there. Del Harris is fine. That's good.
Whack.
So nothing. Bella misses nothing. That's incredible. So I'm thinking about this crown, and now I'm kind of mesmerized by it. I haven't spent a lot of time. When we first had this, the person who did it sat with me and said, I know this show. I've been a longtime fan of the show. I've got some ideas. Can I draw this up and show it to you? And he did. I said, that's great. I actually like that. I like that a lot. And then I never really gave it another thought because, frankly, it's behind me. But now that I'm looking at it, I can't stop looking at it. Because after all, if you're watching, I'm the bomb. I've been known to have a meltdown. But back in the day, say, that's whack. And then that thing. I don't know what that thing
that's
is right
whack.
There. The Grab a Vine, the great one. Look at that on top. Blast with a tank. And then there it is again. Bam, right there. Stop it. Death Pool. They can't stop it. Anyway, so I had this thought. That's a crown. Rather than have that, I want to commission an actual prop, but instead of a crown, I'd rather it be like a championship belt, like a UFC belt or a WWE belt or a WBC, WBA, IBF belt. Wouldn't it be great if I turn that thing into a belt and I could walk around the studio with that around my waist, you know, the jungle champ, or better yet, I could walk around in life up and down the street. With that belt on. Like, I've never worn any of my gear, but how about that? Hey, lost a little bit of weight. I think I need a belt. Man, I can't sneak anything by Bella B. Bella B's like, yeah, you may have tried to bury that. However, it's part of your show open, dude. Bella is still the jungle queen, isn't she? Hey, Jim. What is happening today? I just got back from Red Lobster, and we are dropping like flies. Sincerely, Zeke.
Zeke, it's always great to have you on The Last Word. Thank you very much for joining us. What's up?
My pleasure. I just got back from Red Lobster.
He's alive. He's fine. Isaiah is fine. I feel like these things happen in threes. All right,
Zeke,
so.
It's always great to have you on The Last Word. Thank you very much for joining us. What's up?
My pleasure.
I just got back from finding out that the team is meeting with Donnie Walsh about my job. Damn.
I'm telling you, man. Throwback Tuesday. Used to love having Donnie Walsh on the program. Used to love having Zeke on the program. All right, so. I'm still laughing at Bella. I hate to be the one to point this out. However, you may have killed any and all Deathpool smack, but it still spins around on that crown during the show's opening. Bella, how do you even know that? What are you looking at, Bella? I barely even knew that. Bella's like picking up on everything. Hey, Bella, I got a question. How many faux bricks are there on the wall in my studio? I bet she knows. 848. Who are you, Rain Man? What else are you picking up on? Philly. How we live in Philly? Now, I've been checking in quite a bit lately because y'all have been getting a lot of love around here this year. And it's basically because Philly fan, is in the middle of the best Philly sports moment ever. Am I wrong? The Eagles are still on fire. The NL champion Phillies might not have finished the job in the series, but they're already celebrating another gigantic dub right now, an enormous dub. In fact, if you're in Philly right now, you might want to keep an eye out. You talk about your Philly fan head on a swivel. Keep an eye out. An eye out for any airborne D-cell batteries. An eye out for any hammer-tossed, empty Grey Goose bottles. Dudes hanging off lampposts. Because that's how big that Trey Turner signing is. Philly is not just getting a spectacular player in Turner. He is that. The entire city just got the message in giant neon letters. The exact message that every fan base everywhere wants to see but doesn't hear. The message being, we're all in. The Phillies are serious now. They're not playing. They're not messing around. They're not all right with just being a flash in the pan or lightning in a bottle. They're not satisfied with a shock run to the World Series. They're trying to turn those runs into a regular occurrence. And they're willing to put the paper to make that happen. They're willing to put that paper out. Case in point, he could have gotten more money elsewhere, reportedly. But still, they're committing 11 years, 300 mil for Trey Turner. It's a lot of scratch. It's a lot of years, especially for a guy who you know is not going to be a shortstop at the end of that contract. Maybe even not two-thirds of the way through that contract. But they don't give a damn. And that's what I love about that, the message that it sends. That's what it took to get that deal done. That's what it took to send the message that this is an open championship window. Dave Dombrowski, take a bow, brah. The Phillies president of baseball ops has somehow done it yet again. This dude is massively underappreciated, even though he's guided four separate franchises to the World Series, including the Tigers, twice. I mean, that sounds wrong, right? Like, you have to check that. But it's true. That actually happened. He also has two rings, one of which he scooped in Miami. So he's won with the Marlins. He's won with the Tigers. He's won with the Red Sox. And he's winning once again in Philadelphia. Philly's owner, John Middleton, should get a shout out as well because the man is straight up making it rain right now. Not only did he sign Bryce Harper to that 13-year, $330 million deal, he's now committing $300 million more to Trey. So now he's committed a cool bill, with a B, to six guys. Six guys right there. They are your one bill fills. Six of them. The filthy rich fanatics. Man, you know, things have really changed in baseball when the Yankees are suddenly cheap. When stud shortstops are fleeing the Dodgers every offseason for a real payday. And the Phillies are out here spending a bill on a half a dozen guys. The Phillies. Hey, by the way, good for Brian Cashman on securing another 4-year contract extension from the Yankees. For himself. Good thing they've got their priorities straight. Good thing they've got all their priorities lined up in the Bronx. Definitely make sure you take care of cash. Take care of cash first and foremost. Never mind signing Aaron Judge. I mean, who needs Judge when you have Cashman? Who needs Judge when you've got an executive with one ring to show for his last 22 seasons in charge of the Yankees? If only Cashman could suit up and play the outfield as well, they could finally make it official and tell Judge to just F off once and for all. Hey, do the Yankees by any chance need a shortstop? Do they even have a shortstop right now? Could maybe they have used Trey Turner? I don't know. Yeah, you know, maybe, but they had to take care of Brian Cashman first. Let's not get that twisted. And I understand that. I mean, cash has got to come first. I'm just saying. Isn't Yankee fan just a little bummed to see Trey get away? You know who else has got to be bummed right about now? Nats fan. Nationals fan has got to be sick. Because not only did Nats fan see both Trey Turner and Bryce Harper ultimately leave their team, they've got to deal with both these guys in their same division. They have to deal with both these guys 19 times next year. And quite possibly 19 times for the next decade. All of which is why that contract was so worth it for Philadelphia. I mean, yes, it is a lot of years. Yes, it's a lot of money. Just like the Bryce deal. But it's kind of like that Rams F them pick strategy for baseball. It's like F them back end years.
F them picks.
F them years when they're 40.
F them picks.
F them years when they're a 38-year-old shortstop.
F them picks.
They don't care. They don't care. They're going to worry about that in 10 years. They're not worried about that right now. They're worried about ripping championships right now. And they're built to win championships right now. Philly fan is just stoked as hell that their team is in win-now mode. They're hunting hunks of metal. They're chasing championships. I mean, they've already got the amazing fans. They've already got elite hecklers in place.
I heard you get terrible swamp ass before every start. McCullers, Hoskins got with your girlfriend in high school. Twice. That is getting smoked. How much sticky stuff's in that hair? I know there's something in that lettuce. Don't even get me started on you. Valdez, what's in your glove? What the hell's in your glove? Show me the off-speed. My grandma could have rocked that. You need to figure it out. I haven't seen a strike yet. Billy's money line.
This dude is elite. That is elite heckling. Some of the best I've ever heard. So Philly fan deserves the $1 bill, Phils. $1 bill committed to a half a dozen guys. And the $1 bill, Phils, are here to make one thing completely clear. They're all in. City of Philadelphia having a moment. Blue collar Philly having a moment. Blue collar Philly repped by the $1 bill Phils and the elite Eagles. I love it. Looking really good. Remember, speaking of looking really good, get your holiday cards in here. Send them to Rome@Habitake.com. Rome@Habitake.com. Keep them clean. No drugs. No booze consumption, no porn, no violence, no profanity. When we come back, Trent Dilfer, the new head coach at UAB, is scheduled to join us. You're going to get caught up with him. That's coming up next. You've got your phone number. Hit me up on social media if you would like. Big week off air, too, on the podcast front. Eddie George, NFL great, is my guest on the Jim Rome podcast. Jim Rome's Big Head Bets coming up on Thursday. Seven more games for the head knight to get after. The Pro Football Doc. It's been breaking news.
He had some really interesting thoughts on Matthew Stafford. He'll join us as well. Jim Rome's Big Head Bets, wherever you get your podcast, that pushes out on Thursday. Stay tuned.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. I'm live in Southern California. Great to be with you on this Tuesday. All right, as promised, we are joined right now by the head football coach at UAB. He was named Blazers head coach last Wednesday. Previously, the head coach at Lipscomb Academy High School in Nashville. A Super Bowl champ. A Pro Bowler. UAB is going to open up next season, August 31st, versus North Carolina A&T. We are joined by Trent Dilfer. Trent, it is so good to have you on. How are you?
Jim, so good to talk to you, man. It's been a minute.
My dude. Trent, I got to ask, I mean, you took a big swing in accepting that head coaching job at UAB. What has the first week on that job been like for you?
What a question. All right. I got leaked on a Tuesday night, met with my high school team Wednesday morning, getting ready for the state championship. You can imagine a bunch of 16-year-old kids, their emotions, their families. It went amazing. Our kids were amazing. Our community was amazing. Tears, great practice. We're all over to Chattanooga on Thursday. We dominate in a state championship, our second straight state championship shutout. I have a cheeseburger, say goodbye to the families, jump in the car, wife, me, Birmingham. She gets a ticket on the way down to Birmingham, driving too fast because we're fired up. Get down there, call every high school coach I can find in Alabama, tell them that I want to establish a relationship with them, connect with them. Go 48 straight hours without sleep, watching prospects, my current team, reshuffling the board, changing the board, installing my recruiting philosophy with the director of recruiting, hiring coaches, interviewing, blah, blah, blah. Drive back to Nashville. Compliance allows me to finish my banquet with my high school kids, say goodbye to the community, give out our awards, hugs, kisses, tears, all good. Next day, recruit, the first official day recruiting, Nashville, jump in the car, drive to Mobile 7 hours, in Mobile, one of the richest states, one of the richest areas in the country of talent and great coaching. And I'm sitting here in a parking lot at a high school in Mobile, Alabama, getting ready to go talk to some coaches and get some great players.
Holy crap, Trent. That is amazing. That is a great, great response. Trent Dilfer is joining us. I mean, I could go a million different ways off that, but let me ask you this. Were you looking to make a move and take a shot at the collegiate level? Like, how did this all come down?
No, it's actually a great question. Really interesting, too. It's kind of like the story of mine. I mean, we've known each other a long time. 9 weeks ago, my wife and I were sitting on the couch after a practice, and I had been getting blown up by ADs and presidents and search firms. And last year I went down the road with a university that offered me the head coaching job. I said no like 6 minutes into it. I didn't feel like my work was done at Lipscomb. I love the community. The community's meant so much to me, and I think we've meant a lot to them. You know, we took a program that was 3,000th ranked in the country 4 years ago and turned into a top 10 program in the country. So I wanted to finish that with them. And I look at my wife 9 weeks ago and I said, you know what, sweetie, I don't think I'm going to return these calls. Like, I'm happy. You're happy. We got a grandkid in Nashville, my oldest daughter, and my son-in-law just gave us this awesome grandkid. He's 5 months old. Love everything about it. And she looks at me and she goes, I agree, except for this. And she stares, and she's 30 years of marriage now. You know, I know where she's going. She goes, you were made for more than this. And I went, what? She goes, they're going to love it. Like, your community here is going to be fine. You need to pursue some of these things because God's calling you to something bigger. You're made for more than this. And there's going to be a university that's going to hire you, and you're going to do the same thing there that you did here, which is change the city. You're going to bring people together. You're going to unify people that don't even talk to each other. You know, you're going to pour into their lives and make them better husbands and fathers and professionals. And on the way of doing that, you're going to develop another great team because that's just what you do. And I said, okay, if you're on board, I'm on board. And I started, you know, talking to people. And then UAB, you know, I wasn't even on their list. I now know this. Like, they were down the road with a couple other guys deep. And they just got to know me. And the more they got to know me, the more they liked me, the more I liked them. I was looking for three things once I started going out of this thing. Number one, a president that cared about excellence. A president has to be devoted to excellence. He's got to wake up in the morning and go to bed at night thinking nothing more than how does he make that campus best in class. We have that in Dr. Watts. You got to have an AD Mark Ingram's ours. He's got to understand the impact of football, not the importance. Football's not more important than anything, Jim. I got Division I volleyball players, daughters, so I don't want it to be more important. But the fact of the matter is it's more impactful. It impacts a university, it impacts an institution, a city, more than anything else on campus. Mark Ingram understands that. He was Peyton Manning's center at the University of Tennessee. He gets it. He's been around greatness in football. And then you got to have a donor base that's proved it. All donor bases talk about it. They all have these big functions. We're going to raise all this money. We're going to give you resources. UAB's donor base has done it. They didn't have football. They had lost it. They raised millions, millions and millions to bring it back, build a stadium, build a facility, hire best-in-class people. So all three boxes were checked. Then it was more just the region, the people, the hospitality. Could I see myself living there for 10 years? Can I have more grandkids come move near me? And the answer was yes, 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 yes. And it kind of became a no-brainer.
Trent Dilfer is joining us. Another remarkable response. You know, Trent, you're so right about UAB. I've been talking about the program on this program for years. Bill Clark came on the show a number of times. We talked about what it was like to bring this program back. And, you know, he is universally just revered there. So what is your vision for Blazers football? How big can you build this thing? How high can you climb?
Another great question. I want to honor Bill because I've known Bill for years. He was great to me as a high school football coach. And really, that when you're a high school football coach, you learn a lot about colleges, how they roll into your room, how they recruit your players, how they interact with a high school coach. You sense their humility. They get it, right? Bill was a yellow school bus coach at one time. He was a high school coach, so he understood it. He built such an incredible foundation at UAB. What a challenge to bring it back, right? And, I mean, He put that thing on his shoulders and brought it back. And then Coach Vincent, the interim this last year, unbelievable man. And what he's doing with the awkwardness of me being hired and them still in the building, they're trying to win a bowl game, nothing but respect. So the way I've been telling people is think about building a house analogy. They built this really cool house. It's got a strong foundation. The foundation's set. They just haven't put the Viking appliances in, right? They don't have the fancy art. They don't have the big backyard with the hot tub and the fire pit and the lawn and the pool and all that stuff, right? That's what we're going to do. We're going to recruit players that strictly have the potential, the ability, the traits to play in the National Football League. That's what I know best. Those are the schemes I know best. Those are the processes I know best. Those are the jobs I was offered for years. I know what an NFL player looks like. I know how they tick. I know their pedigree. I know how they've been trained. Like, I did this for a long time, and then when I wasn't doing it, I was studying it. That's what I did for 9 years at ESPN. I studied programs. I studied organizations. I studied org charts. I studied how that stuff works. So I know what they look like. So we're going to go recruit high school kids that have the potential to play in the NFL. And by doing that and pouring into their lives and making them better men, the result of that is we will be in the college football playoffs. We're not going to talk about like we want to be in the college football playoff. We will be in the college football playoff. I hope it's in 2 years, but it'll be in the first three, and we will be a dominant Group of Five program that people won't use that term. We'll just be considered one of the best programs in the country. I don't know any other way of doing it. I said this when I went to Lipscomb. People go, oh, it's just high school. Okay. When I went to that program, there were 38 kids in that program. Six were lifting with the PVC pipe. They were running out of bounds and not tackle our rival, giving up 400 yards of rushing in the first half. They had won three games in 2 years. They were ranked 3,000th in the country. As of today, we're a top 10 program in the country, and we'll have NFL players on that roster. I bet you there's 6 to 8 guys that play in the league off that high school roster, and there's 25 that are going to play college football. We know how to build this, and we're going to do it here.
Trent Dilfer joining us. Trent, just so we're clear on this, what you just said, not a question of if, but a matter of when. You just said UAB is going to be in the college football playoff. Listen, I'm not going to bet against you, my man. I've known you a long, long time. I can hear it in your voice and the energy. But this is a really big, big swing and a big statement you just made. How do you know? What makes you so convinced that you can have this program in the college football playoff?
Because excellence in football is about people. It's not about talent. Now, talent's a big part of it. Recruiting is everything, but it's ultimately about people. Okay, so you develop people. It starts with your staff. You hire great people, and you develop great people. Those people then overflow into your student athletes. As you develop them as people, they become better men. They make professional decisions outside of the building. They learn how to make their bed. They learn how to open the door. They learn how to leave a place better than they found it. They learn how to make highly sophisticated decisions within their life's work that pours out into the football field, and you make great decisions on the football field. Great football is an overflow of human development. You develop coaches, you develop players, you develop other personnel in your building, and then the white lines becomes easy. It actually is the secondary thing in building a great organization. You serve your organization, you serve your people, and the overflow of that is dominant football. And we're not going to win games, we're going to dominate games.
Trent, let me ask you something, and I'm not in any way looking for anything hot take-ish, but based on what you just said, I'm really curious about this. Like, your path is different. You're going to make the move from high school to college football, and that's going to be challenging enough. But since you both used to work at ESPN, you have that in common. What did you make of Jeff Saturday going right from the studio to the Colts with no NFL head coaching experience, no college head coaching experience, but right to that spot? What did you make of that hire?
That's a tough one, much bigger than this. Okay, so I think I've been asked that question a lot, and I want people to understand it's a very different dynamic, right? Let me give you a fact.
Sure.
What I'm rolling into is 0-4. So there's been four high school coaches hired in the FBS level. They're 0-5 and 0-4, and everybody thinks I'm going to be 0-5, and that couldn't make me happier. Like, I love the fact that everybody thinks I'm going to be the fifth failure. But it's different, right? I'm dealing with younger, more impressionable student athletes. It's more about culture. It's more about helping them become better men. It's helping them discover their abilities on and off the field. There's a nurturing. That's the word I'd use. There's a nurturing that goes on in college football that, if done right, can be incredibly impactful. The NFL is a cutthroat business. You don't have all the decision-making. That's the other thing. When you're the head football coach in college football, you are making every decision. Like, now it's a collaboration, but ultimately you make the decision. That's not true in the NFL. Every head coach that's listening to this interview is like, wow, he knows that. Like, they don't make all the decisions. The head coach does not have all the power. Other people have power. So you're kind of, it's a more highly sophisticated political job than a college job is. Now, I think Jeff is the right kind of person. I think he's wired for it. I was supportive of the hire. I think he's going to be really good, but his challenges are way different and far greater than my challenges.
Now, there's no doubt, right? In the NFL, Trent, obviously you have an owner and you have a GM. There's lots of other people who have a voice and they've got a hand in it, and you don't have that kind of control. Trent, leave me with this thought, because you made this point this week. You're like, hey, man, I'm not this old guy. I've got some juice now. I've got some juice. Dude, I can hear it. Trent, you're 50. Have you been running and you've been working and you've had this plan and you've been working a plan? But shoot me straight now, because I think about this quite a bit. I'm trying to find this gear in myself as well. And I think a lot of people that are of our age, past 50, that are still looking for something, looking for that purpose, this juice, this fuel. Have you been running on this entire time, or is this something that you've come to of late? What's driving you at this point?
It hit to me in 2019. I had a mom. I might start crying, so forgive me if I start crying. I had a mom. One of my players, the first year. And after she had seen me with the boys and rebuilding this program in high school and just diving in, like, I mean, it was 20 hours a day of everything, every day. My family was in Texas. I'm living on the couch in my office. It was just relentless. And she wrote me a note, and then she came and met with me, and she goes, I don't want this to sound weird, Coach, but you've gone through the worst pain any human can go through. For those of you who don't know, I lost a son when he was 5 and a half. He was our second child. He's in heaven now. I told the story all over the country. She goes, you've had this incredible pain, and it's been turned into passion. And that's how to answer that question. I mean, since 2019, this pain index has been just directly put into this passion index. And I wake up tingly. I literally wake up tingly. The hair on my arm stands up. I'm getting ready to walk into school in Mobile, and I'm pumped to meet this coach. I've never met this guy. I don't even know if he has any players. I just want to get to know him. Like, I wake up tingly. My whole body just just feels like this is what I was made for. I get in a conference room with coaches and we're talking inside zone or GT, or we're talking defensive simulated pressures or coverage schemes. We're talking personnel. We're talking culture in the building. How do we make the nutrition better? How do we make the equipment better? How do we make it safer? How do we do human development better? And I just never stop. Like, I've gone now. There's times I hit the wall at 50 and I got to get some sleep, but I just never stop. And my mind never stops, and it's always on the kid. And that's what I said at the press conference. And I mean it. Coaching has become an ambition profession. It's about ambition, the institution, the organization, and it should be about the kid. And I am player centric, and I wake up and go to bed thinking about how can I make this kid better.
Trent, it's incredible. Really quickly, with respect to your time, can you explain, is there a process? How do you turn pain into passion? Can you explain that, or is it just something you do?
A lot of it's my faith. I don't want to bang anybody over the head with the Bible. You know that's not me. And I think a lot of it is I've been introspective. I was depressed. Matthew Hasselbeck helped me pull out of depression. And then I got my medication to become alcohol or drugs became fun. You know, I made a ton of money. I had a lot of resources. When I retired from TV, it was fun. You know, I masked the pain with fun. So I played golf 218 times in 2018. I have 5 country club memberships around the country, some of the best ones in the country. I flew on jets to go on golf trips. I ate fancy steak dinners 5 nights a week. Like, I lived the dream that every man was living, but it was empty. It was trying to duct tape a hole in my heart. And once I addressed the hole in the heart and what could fill it, and it was kids. It was the chance to parent boys, because I lost my chance. And my daughters loved it. They were like, Dad, go do it. They're kicking me in the butt saying, you need to be around boys. Like, you've been around all these chicks. So I had 5 sisters. I got 3 daughters. I got a wife of 30 years. Like, I was too in touch with my feminine side. I got too much estrogen going through my veins. And they're like, go be with boys. That's what Trevin would want you to do. And I think that's actually filled the hole. It hasn't duct taped it. It's filled it. And that's why I can wake up every morning and bring on these guys in their fancy jets flying around recruiting against me. I'm in my Ford Raptor, and I'm beating them on the ground. Like, I'm pedal to the metal, school to school, coach to coach, city to city. I'm going to take this Raptor, and I'm going to go recruit because I got energy, because I want more boys that I want to pour into and help them reach their dreams.
Hey, Trent, I don't need to ask you the question that everybody said or wanted to ask you was, hey, how are you going to recruit? Do you even know how to recruit? I already know the answer to that question. I'm not worried about that at all. He is the UAB head football coach. He was named coach last Wednesday. Trent, I never, ever on this daily program keep somebody as long as I kept you. I didn't mean to, but I was so caught up in that juice and that energy, my man. It is so good to have you back, Trent. Really appreciate you and the friendship. Go get it, man. Do what you do.
Let's go, Jim, baby. I'll come on anytime and breathe some fire. Let's go.
Appreciate you, Trent. Nice job. Trent Dilfer joining us. So you could see whereby if you sat with him and he said, I've got this vision. I've got this purpose. I had this pain. I turned it into passion. I want to be with young people. I want to make a difference. I want to be around the kids. I want to be around the boys. I mean, that's an intense, energetic, passionate, forceful interview. So when Trent Dilfer says UAB, it's not a question of if, but it's a matter of when. We will be in the college football playoff. If you read that in a column, you'd say, are you kidding me with that? And you'd laugh, and you'd say it's absurd. But if you listen to him say that, maybe you won't be so quick to judge. I mean, that definitely is a big, big statement. We will be in the college football playoff. But when you listen to him in that context over 15 minutes and you hear him lay out that vision, a little bit different, right? Your thoughts, your reaction. We rent heavy on that, so let me get out right now. I've got a sports update for you. Calling all small business owners who paid employee wages during COVID. You may have overpaid on your payroll taxes and are eligible to receive a refund of up to $26,000 per employee. To schedule your free ERC consultation, call Omega Accounting Solutions at 800-704-2000 or go to OmegaTaxCredits.com. Quickly, the reaction to the interview with Trent Dilfer is really something. Let me read you some of this. At TDT 216. Wow. What an amazing interview with Trent Dilfer. I feel like there is so much more story there. If he hasn't been on the side hustle or the side hustle to the side hustle yet, he needs to be booked ASAP. A lot of you are talking about the Reinvention Project. This guy is too. At Seaburg 66. Put Dilfer on the hashtag Reinvention Project. Need more of this content. You know, the Reinvention Project, it's not without sports, but I've purposefully tried not to put my sports contacts on that because I wanted to do something different. That was part of the side hustle to the side hustle and something, another brand and another lane and something else, another business, frankly, that I wanted to establish. And I wanted to talk to people that I hadn't talked to before. However, people like that are just too compelling. They're too riveting. Their stories are too good not to also retell over there and tell in a different way. I think you're right. So I've done a few sports interviews on the Reinvention Project, and I will, still. And if you haven't seen that yet, you might want to check that out. Big plans for that podcast moving forward. Romy, was that the Reinvention Project or the most phenomenal interview on air in 30 years? Holy crap. Brady in Costa Mesa. He just said that's the best interview he's heard in 30 years on this show. It was good. It was really good. Gordon writes, all I can say after that interview is wow. Gonna have to follow UAB football now. Part of the reason you make that hire. I think some are skeptical about the hire. I'm like, that's a home run hire. If you're UAB, that's the energy, that's the juice, that's the vision, that's the kind of guy you want to take a shot with. And I don't even know that you're taking that big of a chance on a guy like that. Yes, he doesn't have head coaching experience on that level, but he went to the high school level. He built something there. And what he's saying is this approach will work. It's more about talent. It's about the people. It's about the relationships. And yeah, there's a million cliches that guys spew. And then there is a lifestyle. This guy clearly wants to be a football coach more than anything else. He's in it. And what he said about, you can see where he's not using this as a stepping stone to the NFL, at least not right now, because what he's saying is, I know the Jeff Saturday thing. He goes, I supported that. I hope for the best for him, but it's a different deal. And it is. College coaches, frankly, have a lot more control, obviously. You don't have to answer to an owner or a GM. There aren't a bunch of others telling you how to do this or how to do that. You've got total authority. You can control your destiny to a much greater extent. He knows that. Wagner writes, Jim, before the interview was 1 minute in, I knew it was one of the best. Freaking unreal positive energy. War TD. Not only that, but what's that guy running on? He laughed when I said, what's that week been like? He's like, oh, dude, let me tell you about that week. And he laid out this insane week where he went 48 hours without sleep at one point. And this guy's still running on that energy. I mean, it's one thing to run on 5 cups of coffee or five hours or whatever, but you're not going to make sense. That guy was talking in very coherent, lucid thoughts, but crazy energy. He was making plenty of sense. It was an incredible conversation given the week he's had. And right outside of a school, going in to talk to another coach. He goes, I don't even have any idea if he's got any players I would want. I just want to meet this guy. I want to connect with this guy. I want to meet all these coaches. I want to build all these relationships. At Matt Mikla, holy hell, I have crazy goosebumps that won't quit right now thanks to Trent mother-scratching Dilfer. Loved him in the brown and orange, and now I am a UAB fan. You know that if a guy delivers, it's an amazing hire when you've got so many people saying, I am now a fan of that program. I have no connection to the school, no interest in the school. Oh, I heard their coach on a radio program. That's the school I'm following now. Snappin' H-Town, quote, if Trent Dilfer was my coach, I would be the first one to run through a wall if that is what he wanted. Hashtag amped. Jim, Been listening for 25 years. Best interview I have ever heard. Anywhere. With anyone. Stud. Fitzy and KC. Getting responses like, that's the best interview I've ever heard you do. That's the best interview I've ever heard on this program in 25 years, in 30 years. Incredible. For the ones who get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. Clearly, big ups, big thanks to Trent Dofer for picking us all up. That was the shot of adrenaline we all needed. Thanks to the new head coach at UAB, Trent Dofer. Sean Clifford, Penn State quarterback, was on in hour number one. Thank you to my XR4TI crew. Getting it done. Clones, have a great day. See you tomorrow. We're out.